They come in, how many children have you?
No, you can do
something. Big crowd.
For a bit.
That was nice.
Okay, so what we were saying yesterday was, and this is the schus, the Refuah Shleima of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla B'soch Shor Chayli Yisrael. What we were saying yesterday was that adding in opinions, right, like I did when I was speaking to Dudi about the speaker, saying he doesn't come over as too bright or something like that. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. It's very tempting, even when you have a heter, to speak Lashon Hara, if you like, or to tell something, information about someone to someone else. It's not Lashon Hara then, because you're doing it for Tzayeles, you're doing it for Tachlis, you're doing it L'Shem Shemaim. But nevertheless, you have to be careful not to add any personal remarks, and not to embellish, and not to, you know, to introduce anything else, but the strict facts. If Dudi says to me, all I should be saying to Dudi when he asks me is, when he says, is he a good speaker or was he a bad speaker? The answer is, book him again or don't book him again. I don't have to start speaking about the speaker, how he spoke or what his character is, or I don't have to speak about all that. That's extra.
You're not allowed to say he was very, very good?
I can say he was very, very good. I can say that.
Don't book him again.
Very, very good, but...
Oh. If I say don't book him again... Sorry?
They're different people.
Yes. Yeah, that's also true. So sometimes there's somebody who speech, whose drosha I didn't enjoy, and somebody else says brilliant. So that's a matter of taste. Yeah. I spoke to the ladies on Motzei Shabbos, and I said to them that... That when the lady phoned me up, the lady who was organizing the shiurim, phoned me up and asked me if I can give a shiur on Motzei Shabbos Parshas Vayetze. So she said, at the same time, can we go through a few names of potential speakers that she can ask? Because she said, you know, because you're in Torah way, so you hear different people, so therefore can we go through a few names? So I told them, I said, we went through a few names, you know. Yeah, no, don't take him. Yeah, no, don't take him. No, he's no good, and he's no good, and he's no good. So you ended up with me.
Same lady rings me regularly.
Yeah, you ended up with me. Okay, fine. So that's one thing that the Chofetz Chaim says. The Chofetz Chaim also says then that also you don't have any idea how much one little remark, a throwaway line, one remark can have a major effect on somebody. He brings down a story about the Chofetz Chaim. I'm not sure if the story could be absolutely right, but let's go through it anyway. The story is a story, so therefore you can learn the lesson. Is the story true and does it make sense? Veselchlish says there's a famous story about the Chofetz Chaim and another Rav who were traveling together. They stopped at an inn, and the lady who was in charge, the wife of the innkeeper, recognized them, and she treated them very, very well, and she gave them the honor that they deserved. She gave them a good table, and she made sure that they were served with a very good meal. After they finished the meal, the hostess returned to the table, and she said, did you enjoy the food? So the Chofetz Chaim didn't say anything, but the other Rav said, it was very good, but the soup could have used a bit of salt. In other words, you forgot to put the salt in the soup. So when the hostess left, the Chofetz Chaim was very distressed. And he said to the Rav, you've got no idea what are the potential consequences of this. Because she's going to go in now to the cook. And the cook is a lady, maybe she's, you know, very often they were almonas. They were somebody who needs panos. So they weren't doing it because they enjoy cooking. Yeah, and she's going to berate her because she served. You know, it's one thing if you forget the soup, if you get the salt at home. So it's in a home setting and you can just add a bit of salt. But in a restaurant setting or in a hotel setting, the customers expect that somebody's tasted it and that it's been sorted out, etc. Yeah, so he said that you don't know what sort of an effect it could have. The taka went inside to the kitchen and they found the lady, the hostess, was telling off the cook and saying, how could you possibly have served the soup to the guests without checking it first, without tasting it first, and you should follow a recipe, why didn't you put the salt in, v'chole, v'chole, v'chole. Says the Chofetz Chaim, then they said, no, it was very good, it was fine, just a bit of salt, nishkefelech, etc., etc. They saved the lady's job. But Al Kol Pon, it says the Chofetz Chaim, little remarks, extra words, another word, another remark, another something like that can make a massive difference. It can affect somebody's panosa, it can affect shidduch, it can affect shalom bayis, and therefore just be careful.
Start of the editor away, Northwest London, Wednesday, 16th of Kislev, 29th of November, Reb Dudi Rosenberg, Shlita, Encounters. This week's Torah was sponsored by Tanya David Levy, Rippleton, Connorson of Shimon Levy, Nerior, and Penny Feingold, Shetich Yeh. This custom took place last Sunday. He will turn to the right and more before the Shem Bishilo.
Amen.
But it's also Shavuim Va Chayolim, Va Melchama, Shiyashu, the Votahem, the Shalom, the
Nero.
Amen.
Encounters in reference to a very significant meeting between the Sara Shel Aisov and Yaakov Uvini on that chasm. And we'll start off with a thought which I heard many, many years ago from Chaim Dov Keller, who was a Rosh Hashiva in Chicago. Udon Gudel, I think he was on the Meretz Gedolah Torah. And he spoke then, must have been for short, maybe 20 years ago, at a good convention, not a Shabbos, was Parshas Vayishlach. And I still remember the thought, which went along the lines of the conversation or the discussion at the end of the fight, where Yaakov Avini ask the Malach for his name. Although he was a Sarah Shel Aisov, he asked in a very typically Jewish fashion, what do you need to know my name for? Because he always answers a question with another question. So he said to him, Ashmecho, Vayoy Me Yaakov. So he answered him. And he said to him, Hagidinu Shmecho, what about you? What's your name? So he says to him, "Lo muzeh tish al shmi, v'stafst v'isim v'yichayis, what's your business?" But he blessed him, nonetheless. In greater depth, it's explained, I think, according to the Maral, that the word shem, which means name, essentially means shom, there, the essence of the person. What is he? Where is he? What is his DNA, so to speak? And that's what Yaakov Avini was posing to the question to this Malach. You are the Sarah Shel Aisov, the Sutton, the Sitrache, the Samach Mem, in all different versions of essentially the epitome of evil. I beat you. We had a battle. I'm entitled to know what are you made of, because I'm here to find out, to establish for future generations. What are you made of, so that I can at least know how to combat you in the future. I want to fortify myself against you. So the Malach says to him, this is the answer which you need to know. Lo muzeh tish al shmi. As Rashi says, Ein lo shem kavua. We haven't really got a firm and set name. Mishtanin shmoiseini, because our names change and differ. Hakoy lefi mitzvas avoides hashlichus she'onu mishtalchet. Depending very much on what our, so to speak, aufgabe or our mission is, that is the name which we will be given. Rafuel to heal, Michuel, Gabriel, etc., and Samach Mem, as we'll explain on the next angle, is there also to blind. But what he really said to him was, don't waste your time in trying to find the key to my strength. Because my mission is essentially just to test the Jewish people and to be the Tzatche Keneged, the Koyach Hurah, the Yaitzeh Hora. But I change in every generation. A long time ago, it used to be idol worship. I got people to bow down to deities. Then, later on, it could be enlightenment, the Haskula. and then I'll change to nationalism and socialism, and then I'll go to communism where everybody has to get the same. And then shortly afterwards I can become capitalism, and I can become materialism. And all these different names of movements which draw people into the net of the Yetzer Hara and of the Sar Shel Aisov. And of course, in this day and age, we don't have to go further than the internet to know that he came up with his ace card and his trump to show you that in case you thought that you've beaten me, I finally come up in the end, Ikvesesh the Mashiach, with one of the most difficult challenges that is absolutely perplexing. Manhikayu Aidu, Gedoylo Aidu, and of course the Pshitei Om. And that's what the Malach said to him. Why would you try in a defeatist attitude to go and establish my name? Because you'll never catch me. I'm always changing. I'm always evolving. From another angle, let's ask a few questions on this encounter. We start off the Sedra, where Yaakov Avinu says, Hatzilaininu miyad uchi, miyad Aisof. There seems to be a contrast and a distinction. Who is the Uchi and who is the Aisof? Rashi says on the earlier fight we spoke about with the Malach, a long discourse about Veyei Uveik Ish Imoy. This man is wrestling with Yaakov. Now watch this Rashi because it's quite fascinating. Menachem Pirish, Vayis Apeh Ish, and he takes the word Apeh, Lushon of Ufo. So Rashi says, Milushon Avak, it's dust. Shoho Yumalin Ufo Braglayim, on a very simplistic level, they were fighting, pushing, wrestling with each other, and dust is formed and going up. Al Yedei Na'anuam, through their movement, this dust is rising. V'linire, but I see it as Lushen Vayiskashe, that Vayeuvik means they are bound up one with the other, and they are connected. V'lushen Aramihi, it says, goes on. Buse Daviku Bey V'avak Lei Mavik, giving different examples of, again, the source of the word of ovok, of dust. And then he says, Lushen Anivo. Anivo is like a tie. That's what they call Aniva. And he's knotted, almost Sheken Shter Shnaim. If you took two people, Shem it's Atzmin Lahapil Ish Esrei Ehu, Shechoivkoi Voivkoi Bizroi Oisov. When they're entangled and they're embraced, and one is really trying to trip the other one up, they are in this tight knot. The Pishi Rabbi Saini, finally Rashi says, who is this one who is in this encounter? Sar Shel Aisov. So, this Rashi, Aina Mikru Zeh Oima Elu Dorshain. The third question was the significance of that they were Vayeuvik Imoy Ad Aloy Sashacha. The morning went up, and that's when the fight ended. The fourth point would be, it says, Va Yishokehu, when they finally met Yaakov and Esav, the dots on top of Va Yishokehu, many, many dots. What's the significance of the dots? Of course, Rashi adds his input. The next Heura would be, that Yaakov Avinu left this place and he called it Peni El. And then Pusik goes on to say, Vayikru Yaakov Shema Mukoim Peni El, Kiruisi Elekim Punem El Punem Vatinut Seil Nafshi. Remarkably, the next Pusik goes straight on to say, Vayizrach Loi Hashemesh, Kashe Uve es Penu El. So, what is it? Goldberg's Green and Golders Green and same name, same town, different. Another Heura. Ki Surisu im Elokim Mimanushim Vatuchal. Yaakov Avinu's name is essentially changed in this week's Sedra to Yisrael. And the reason for that is because you have, so to speak, fought and tried to win your Imolekim v'Manushim, both the Sar Shel Esav and other people, and Luvon, etc. Vatuchal. And therefore you're called Yisroel. Would it not be more suitable for Yaakov to be called something along the words Om Vatuchal? Because in the end of the day, you've won. You've beaten him. Isn't that really the achievement that counts? So, we've got here several questions. We asked about Hatzilaninu Miyad Uch Miyad Esav. We spoke about the significance of the dust, and Rashi going into long detail about this. And then he goes on to say, Adalois HaShacha, why is this Shacha so important that it lasted until daybreak? Vayishokehu, the dots on top of that, Vayivku, and Penuel, and Peniel, the difference. The next one was Kisurisu, Melekim Anushim Vatuchal. Why is that not accentuated in his name on the word Vatuchal? So let's understand, this fight was not a boxing ring. This fight was certainly not something where it was just a plain wrestling match. This wasn't a combat which was eternal. This was a fight between good and evil. And this fight had an impact on future generations too. This Sarah Shel Esav clearly represented the Sutton, the Sitra Acha, the Koyach Hura, the Malach HaMuvez, you name it. He's got lots of different outfits, but it's essentially the same, as the Gemara says. And when an Avaira is presented by the Sarah Shel Esav or the Sutton, it looks very attractive, very appealing, and that is the way he presents it. Because I remember hearing from Rabbeinu Pavarsky once, the Sutton pays cash, the Yaitzer Tov, he takes long term credit, and he says Olam Habu, yes, kriegen. But the Yaitzer Hora, he says, yeah, I give it to you right away. Now you want to enjoy, chap around. Enjoy, machaleim. And that is essentially a seduction which, once the man has already unfortunately succumbed and is transgressed, then lingers a feeling of emptiness, a guilty conscience, and he starts to question himself, why did I do this in the first place? It wasn't really worth it, but it looked so appealing. The koyach of the Yetzer Hara made it so attractive. And this is the blinding factor, the smoke screening factor. And this is what Rashi goes on to explain. The closeness between the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and the Yid is defined by that unbroken chain, by something which creates this connection constantly by his doing good things. When he does an avaira, he's eroding that. And he's essentially creating a severance. And through the avaira, he is now feeling a certain element of distance. The seduction lasts until the avaira is over. But the distinction between good and bad is that's where the koyach of the Yetzer Hara is. It's smokescreened by the dust. And that's what Rashi is alluding to. Remember that according to what the Cheskini comments as well, and others, that this fight went right up to the belief of Yaakov Avinu and his tenet, that he was, his connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was threatened now through the Sar Shel Esav. Emine Pshite. And this is something that he did by constantly giving him doubt, blinding him. So Rashi says here, if we go back to it, Menachem Perish Vayis Ape Eshelushin of Ofa. And then he says it's a solution of Avak. Shoyumalim ufo baraglayim, that this smoke and this dust is going up as a result of this fight. And then he says, the uviklei mevak is lushan anivo, that the Yetzirah is tied and bound close to you. That if you took a wrestling match between two people and you took a sharp shot, it looks like the two of them are in a very deep embrace and they're almost showing affection and love to each other. It's only the two of them that know that with the first opportunity, the other one was going to kill and destroy the other. Or the second one, given the opportunity. But if you took the picture, it looks much like they're close up. That is exactly the Pirshi Rabbi Saini, the Sarah Shel Aisof. He comes with a smoke screen and makes it so alluring. He makes out as if he's your best friend, and he has your intentions in mind, and really he wants to give you something good, tasty, seductive. But the truth is, he's out to kill you, to destroy you. And that, essentially, is the dust that went up to the Kisei HaKuvod, because Yaakov Avinu's connection in the Ribbono Shel Olam, to point out how the Sepona writes it over here, lo yuchal loy, that the Malach could see that he was not actually getting there, he was not achieving what he wanted to. Zukta Sepona, l'ruiv dveikusoy tumid, v'kailis purach, Yaakov Avinu was attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam with moiridike dveikus, and this is what protected him against the Sarah Shel Aisof. And now from there we understand also what Ad Alois HaShachar, when daylight came, that the Shemesh, so to speak, the brightness shone upon him, and it was clear as day, forgive the pun, but that's what it really means, clear as day, that now the Ribbono Shel Olam is really there for me, and I have no doubts. And the Sarah Shel Aisof, with all his dust and his blinding effects, has not managed to distort my strong belief in the Bashefer. That's when the fight stopped. And that's when Yaakov Avinu asked him, okay, so the game's up now. Hagidu no shumecho, tell me what you're really about. And he says, Lomu zetisha l'shmi, it's pointless. Because game's up, you've already seen through me. I was trying to distort things for you, trying to give you an appeal to understand the beauty of the Avaira, but now you've seen through all that and the sun has shone and you've reached a place of clarity. And now, Vayivurech Oysoy Shom. So, that's why the Vayishav Kehu is with dots, because that's the same reason why we've got Hatzileni Nu Miyad Uchi Miyad Esav. Because it's when he comes as Esav and he says, I'm an Avaira, let's call it a spade a spade. I'm trying to get you to do something bad, and the person can defend himself. But when he's allured and he's trying to be pointed out, really, I mean you're good, you're going to enjoy it, you're going to have fun. Keep the shofti alle masses, just do the Avaira. That's the Miyad Uchi. And the Miyad Esav is... it's much better when Esav Soina Liyankov, at least you know where you stand. And also the Vayishokehu, because the dots on top are really saying the worst possible kiss that Yaakov could have is the kiss of Esav, because it is very, very two-faced. He might feign love and affection, but really he was trying to bite him, to kill him, to destroy him, and to decimate him. And that was the message here of this Uvakle Mevak, which is another angle of the encounters. So we answered all our questions, essentially. Miyaduchi Miyad Esav, we said, and Vayuvik Ish Imoy, this is what this business, why Rashi goes into the long extended explanation about the dust. What's the significance of Adalois HaShachar, which is a point of clarity. Vayishukei Vayivku, which means the significance of those dots about the kiss and the sinister meaning behind the kiss. And the place was called Penuel, and Peniel is because Yaakov Avinu saw it as something very directly involved to him. Peniel, he had encountered the Ribbono Shel Olam by fighting towards this goal. He wanted to see the Ribbono Shel Olam Punim al Punim. He wanted Kav Yuchel to speak, to have that attachment, as the Sepona explains, and not to be severed. And that's why in the end of the day, Penuel is the name of the place, which is a sort of distant, detached thing. You can view God, but Peniel is no. I actually saw God. I actually experienced the Rebbein Shlomo. I actually came to a point of clarity, which was specifically Ad Alois HaShachar. And therefore, Kisurisu Imalekim Vemanushim Batuchal, the main accentuation is on the Surisu, because this is something which is ongoing through the generations, as we've explained. The Sarah Shal Esav will recur, and he'll come in different types of guises. But essentially, the Vatuchal is the outcome, but the Surisu is the constant fight and the combat which Klal Yisrael will endure throughout the nations. Now, generations. From here we go on to another area of the Seder, and it says like this. Yaakov Avinu finally meets Esav. And it says, Vayisu es Einov, Vaya es Anushim, and he prepares his camp, like we said, Vayachatz. And it says, Vatigashnu Ashvucho es Heine V'yaldein, and then he asks him, who were all these people that I met on the way? And he said, and then Yaakov Avinu says to him, Vayisu es eino vayas anushim es hayeludim vayoyme. Mi eile loch? Vayoyma hayeludim ashechunan elekim esavdecho. So, there is a Kedisha Sion, a Baba Varuf, Zayach HaTzadik, Kudish Levrucha, who explained it in the following way. Again, going back to the Shom, that the name of the person is where he really is. Vayisu, Esav es Eina Vayas Anushim, that essentially when Esav picks up his eyes, what does he see? The women. Ganz pushet. But now, there is another element of him looking and gazing, because there was an evil intent there. The Zera Kodesh, the Rav Shitzuruf, explains that the essence of Ein Horror, so to speak, is remedied. And he explains, when he was asked, what does one do if you feel as eine kicked of Timetasa, beisen Euge, Ein Horror? So he said, you raise your eyes heavenward. Look upwards, towards. So it sounds a bit hocus pocus and spooky, but really the depth behind it is explained in the following way. The koyach of Ein Horror is to separate the person from his creator, similar along the lines to what we've said before. If the neighbor sees you driving in with a brand spanking new Ferrari, you know, with the latest aircon and speaker system with the cream seats, and it's gleaming from the car wash, and you see his eyes are literally green in color. He's looking over the fence, and you feel uncomfortable. That really is otashtikli, what you would call Ein Horror, which means that the neighbor looks at you in the following way: how come he's got this car and I haven't? How come he's got this beautiful detached house, I haven't? How come he's got such good-looking children and I don't? As if to say that there's something about the Metzias, what this person owns, what he has, that's something to do with his ability to control it. This severs a tzinor. There is, so to speak, a showering of blessing which the Rebbein Shlulam gives, and when that you recognize constantly where the brucha, the shefa, comes from, you connect it. But the man who places Ein Horror, he says, well, he's got it. Maybe he's more astute, he's a better businessman, maybe he works with greater alacrity, maybe he's just plain luckier, I don't know. But at the end of the day, he's cutting you because he doesn't really believe that the source is the one, that's the reason why you might have the Ferrari and he hasn't got. If you raise your eyes heavenwards, like the Rav Shitzuruf says, then with that you are reconnecting to source.
You're looking upwards to say, yes, it might be true that I feel the iron horror on me right now, but I remember and I'm constantly aware that the source of the brucha is from the Eibishter. And that's why I've got whatever I've got, and I'm grateful for whatever I've got. The iron horror can therefore manifest even from family and friends, because the moment that if it's a close one, and they also think to themselves, whoa, look at that. His children are so successful, then there is something about that gaze which separates the person and his children or his progeny from the source. And then when the person looks up, he says, yeah, but I recognize it's nothing to do with me. It's all a blessing. And it comes from the Rebbein Shlomo. There's again this reconnecting. Esav came and he met Yaakov. He asks him a question. And he says, Vayisu es Einov, this gazing of the eyes, which Esav is famous for, the Koich of Ein Ra, which is the 400 people, 400 shekel. We've got this long time before that Esav is Koich of Ein Ra. And he now says to Yaakov, Mi Eileloch, which Rashi explains in the following way, Mi Eileloch as Mi eile lihiyois shelcho. What is it? Why have you got all this? The bankvetcher, the ishtom, yoishev ahulim. You're supposed to be the koilingeman. You got all this cattle and cows and sheep and camels. And what's going on here? Why? How does it come to you? And mi eile loch means vosepes. Meile, me, I'm the businessman. But you? So that Ein Horror was essentially separating Yaakov Avini by severing the Shefa, by cutting those tzinoiros, by recognizing from his perspective, why do you have this? That's the Koich of Ein Ra. What was Yaakov Avini's response to him? Hayeludim asher chunan elokim esavdecho. These are the children that the Rebbeinu Shloilem has given me. And therefore, I have not for one moment forgotten that the source of the blessing emanates from the one above. So the response to the iron horror, which Esav wanted to inflict, of the mi eile loch, as Rashi says, mi eile liyos shelchu, is answered and countered by Yaakov when he says, Hayeludim asher chunan elokim esavdecho, not to forget for one moment where the blessing comes from. But if you look carefully, you'll see that the words mi eile are really the same letters as Elohim. But they just happen to be split in two. And that's what Esav had every intent of doing. When he said to him, mi eile loch, he was trying to separate him from the Rebbein Shlomo. And that's why Yaakov Avini's response was, Hayeludim ashechunan Elohim esavdecho. He took the letters of mi eile and he reattached them, reassociated himself to his creator, was reconnected with the Rebbein Shlolem, and made from the mi eile hayeludim asher chunan elokim esavdecho. Thank you.